Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
We put together a nice podcast for you today. We're going to go over the football events of October 29th, and we've got a couple upsets to start it off and a streak by a famous wide receiver for the Browns, all coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and we are going to bring you the football history headlines from October 29th, just like we said earlier. And we'll get right at it as we go to October 29th, 1921. Per the footballfoundation.org website, Center College in Kentucky upset Harvard 6-0, handing the Crimson its first defeat since 1916. Center's Bo McMillan, a 1951 College Football Hall of Fame inductee, scored on a 32-yard run in what many consider still as one of the greatest 20th century sports upsets. Next, a headline from the National Football Foundation, October 29th, 1988. Washington State scored 28 points in the second half to upset number one UCLA in the College Football Hall of Famers Troy Aikman and Terry Donahue, 34-30. Cougar running back Rick Swinton scored the go-ahead touchdown with 6:21 remaining in the game. The Bruins had an opportunity to tie it late in the fourth quarter and to win the game, but Aikman misfired on four consecutive passes from the Washington State 6-yard line as Washington State's defense stood tall to preserve the victory. Our next stop on the timeline, October 29, 1989. Ozzie Newsome had his NFL streak of 150 consecutive games with the reception come to an end. A UPI article by Thomas Bernatrich, dated October 29, 1989, said that Newsome was injured after the first Cleveland offensive play in the second half and had not had a reception in the first half against the Oilers. Newsome, by his own choice, decided not to go back into the game and try to preserve the lead with a short reception. The Browns prevailed without their star receiver contributing on the stat line as they cruised to a 28-17 victory over the Houston Oilers. The streak started, as you remember, on October 21, 1979. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, folks. Are you curious about some of the unique players, teams, games, and events of pro football's past? If you are, please check out my bi-weekly podcast, The Pigskin Past. I'm Joe Zagorski, a member of the Pro Football Writers of America and the Pro Football Researchers Association. I've written three books about pro football history, and I'm currently writing my fourth. Now, my era of expertise is the 1970s in the NFL. Heck, I even have a Facebook page by that title, And my very first book also has the same title, The NFL in the 1970s. But every now and then I check out a different era, so I might surprise you. Anyway, if you like pro football history, please check out my bi-weekly segment here called The Pigskin Past when you get a chance. I think you'll enjoy it.
Now it's time for a birthday celebrations of Hall of Famers, and we'll go October 29th, 1881, Phillipsburg, New Jersey. John DeWitt, a former Garden kicker from Princeton University, was born. Some consider DeWitt to be the greatest player in Princeton history, even as the great Walter Camp placed him on the all-time All-America team. The NFF recounts this great story on DeWitt on their website. Things were not looking good for the Princeton Tigers in their annual battle with Yale. Their 10-game winning streak was in jeopardy when the Bulldogs scored the first points of the season against the Tigers. The Eagles were about to increase their 6-0 lead as Ledlear Mitchell set to drop kick a field goal. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, came the rush of John DeWitt. He caught the ball in midair and raced 70 yards for a Tiger touchdown, then kicked a conversion point that tied the game at 6-6. Late in the contest, DeWitt struck again, this time on a 53-yard field goal, which provided the winning points in an 11-6 Princeton victory. Princeton finished the season at 11-0-0 and won the national championship, due largely to the efforts of this dropkick specialist. DeWitt was an all-around great athlete, as he even competed in a hammer throw for the United States in the 1904 Summer Olympics held in St. Louis and won the silver medal. John DeWitt was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1954. Our next Hall of Fame birthday had a long career in football, and when I say long, you'll know what I'm talking about in just a moment. We'll go to October 29th, 1923, Gloucester, Mississippi. That's when Barney Poole, an end that played for multiple collegiate teams, including Mississippi, North Carolina, and Army, was born. The National Football Foundation informs us that due to special wartime allowances, Barney Poole is permitted to participate in an unprecedented 7 seasons in collegiate football. Poole started off his collegiate career at Mississippi in 1942, then he played with North Carolina's V-12 unit in 1943, and then he moved on to Army for the 1944 through the 1946 campaigns. Then he returned to Ole Miss for 2 additional seasons. Never was his playing talent displayed better than in the 1946 Army-Navy game. With time waning and Army up, Navy was driving for the go-ahead score. Poole made a couple of game-saving tackles, the last when he hauled down Navy's Pete Williams at the cadet 4-yard line, ending the final threat with just 7 seconds left in the game, according to the NFF's website. Poole was an all-around great athlete, and he earned 7 letters in football, 7 in basketball, and 8 more in the sport of baseball. The National Football Foundation voted Barney Poole to join their exclusive club of College Football Hall of Fame in 1974. Barney, after his college years, played in the National Football League for the New York Yanks and the Dallas Texans, the Baltimore Colts, and the New York Giants. Poole also played in an All-America Football Conference for the New York Yankees. We're taking a peek over at the chains and the down marker. It's 4th and long. We're going to have to punt the ball and get on out of here, but we'll have another series tomorrow for your football history headlines, so be sure to tune in. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away 2 copies of my latest book called Bears vs. Cardinals, the NFL's Oldest Rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sternemann collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward. A Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe. And a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you'll enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you and good luck.